Are you sick of being told you have faith, we have science? Have you ever been frustrated with not being able to defend your faith or give a reasonable answer for the hope that lies within you? Coming up next on Hope Radio is the New York Apologetics Radio Show that will help you to present your faith with conviction, confidence, and clarity. Now, here's Nick and Anthony with the New York Apologetics Radio Show.
Hello again, and welcome to the New York Apologetics Radio Broadcast. We have another great show ready for you tonight. My name is Anthony Vigneault, and I serve on the Elder Board at Church on the Sound, located in Stony Brook, New York. And I'm joined by Nick Mitchell, who is an associate pastor at the Abundant Life Church of God, located in Holbrook, New York. And together, we form New York Apologetics. For those of you who are listening for the first time, New York Apologetics is all about defending the Christian faith. We've built an impressive collection of material that anyone interested in defending their faith can freely access at newyorkapologetics.com. So now let's turn our attention to tonight's topic and continue our Apologetics 101 series.
Oh, thanks, Anthony. So last week we finished part three in our series, Apologetics 101. Just as a reminder, the series has been created to help you become familiar with apologetics. And to get the most out of this series, we'll be making the following suggestions. Number one, listen to the broadcast every week because the information has a definite order. This week builds on last week and, you know, so on and so forth. You might be saying to yourself, what if I miss a broadcast and now I'm somewhere in the middle? That's okay, because after the broadcast each week, we post the audio and all the information on the website. You go right to the website, www.newyorkapologetics.com, and click on the tab that says Apologetics 101. Secondly, every week we place a worksheet designed for that week's broadcast on the website. Why? So you can print the worksheets, fill them out as you listen to the broadcast, and after a while, you'll have an apologetics notebook that you can refer to. Thirdly, if you have your Bible handy, this will be helpful because you can look up the verses that are mentioned, because sometimes we do go through some Bible verses. And finally, the fourth thing we would say is if you get stuck or you do not understand something that we say or talk about, or you'd like more information on it, you can shoot us an email and we'll do our best to respond. On the bottom of each broadcast page, there is an area where you can send us your comments or questions concerning that week's topic. And we feel that that would be, you know, that would be helpful. And if you have any comments or suggestions, you can send them in that way as well. All right. So, Anthony, where did we leave off last week?
All right. To quickly recap, last week we spoke about religion and our culture. We went to the Department of State website to see what they said about establishing religion. We talked about the Liberty Bell, the Deluder Act, and the Declaration of Independence. Then we went into the universality of belief in the existence of God, how most people in all nations at all points of time had believed in God, what that was, why does it exist, and the weight and the force of that particular argument. Then we talked about the current global religious landscape, and we went through the religions by world populations.
Now, to talk about the what the world believes right now, Pew Research has shown us that 83.7% of the world believes in a god or many gods, but they believe in God nonetheless and are affiliated religiously. And this is interesting because the way that it breaks down is that the number one religion in the world is Christianity. The second largest religion in the world is Islam, and the third largest religion is the Hindu religion. So the top three religions in the world are Christian, Islam, and Hinduism, in that order. Now, something very interesting is taking place, and that is that Hindus is no longer the third largest group when it comes to this in the world. They're being overtaken by a group called the religious unaffiliated. And religious unaffiliated means that there's people who believe in God but aren't affiliated with any religion. And you're going to laugh at this, but they're called nuns. Now, for those of you who are listening, I just said the word nun, and I don't mean N-U-N, but I mean nun as in N-O-N-E. That when it comes to a religious affiliation, they have none. Again, not N-U-N, none, but N-O-N-E. Now, Pew Research refers to them as nuns, and that's how they're being labeled globally when they do these sort of statistical research. Now, 16.3% of the entire population of the world, and it's about 19% in America, consider themselves religious unaffiliated. Out of that 16%, a small percentage of them, 5%, are considered atheists. Now, a lot of times, this is important because a lot of time atheists will tell you that 16% of the world or 19% of the world are atheists, and that because they're religiously unaffiliated, and that's just simply not true.
Right. Just because somebody is religiously unaffiliated doesn't mean they don't have a belief in God.
Exactly. So don't let someone pull the wool over your eyes by telling you that, you know, almost a 20% of the world doesn't believe in God. Simply not true. Also, it does tell us something about the people in our country. 19% of the United States right now is religiously unaffiliated. And if you're a Christian and you're looking to speak to people about God and about Jesus, obviously there's a huge amount of people that need to be talked to. If you would think about it on a Saturday, one out of every five people is not going to church or is unaffiliated. And they believe in God. I don't know what could cause that, but I think it's a serious problem, and it's growing. It's the largest growing section in the world. Matter of fact, it just passed Hinduism. It's the third largest group in the world. So right now, the three largest groups in the world are number one, Christian, number two, Islam or Muslims, and number three, religious unaffiliated people.
Well, good, because what we're going to do tonight is give you some tactics and strategies to speak to this 19% of the people in the world who are religiously unaffiliated. They may believe in God, but we're going to point them in a little bit more honed-in direction. Tonight, we're going to go through an argument by the name of CODE, and it's an acronym that stands for Causation, Order, Design, and Ethics. Now, for somebody who's a religiously unaffiliated or even religiously affiliated, regardless of the case, who may or may not accept the scriptures as God's word, this particular argument, CODE, causation, order, design, and ethics, is designed to show people that God exists without having to use scripture.
Now, let me interrupt you one second, Anthony. For those of you that are listening on the broadcast right now, the worksheet, if you notice at the very top of your worksheet, apologetic arguments, the first four fill-in-the-blanks are CODE, C-O-D-E. So again, number one would be causation, number two would be order, number three would be design, and number four would be ethics, morality.
Funny you got the order one wrong. So C stands for causation. And again, it's not that we don't want to use scripture, but some people don't accept scripture as God's word. So a lot of times people say, well, outside of the Bible, how can you prove to me that God exists? So this particular argument is going to show you how we can prove the existence of God scientifically. We're going to give you good evidence to show someone that God exists. So
wait a minute. Yes. Why would you need to show somebody evidence that God exists?
Well, because they want good reasons to believe in God, and we have good reasons to believe in God. It's not blind faith or wishful thinking. We don't believe in the flying spaghetti monster or the tooth fairy or any of these other things that are figments of people's imagination. We actually can point to an intelligent mind outside of this world that actually created this world and give people good reasons to believe that.
All right, fair enough.
All right, so we're going to start out with C. C stands for causation or causality. Now, this is the principle that says that everything has a cause. Anything that has come to be or has come into being must have a cause. It's called the law of causality.
All right, so if you're on your worksheet, go to number five, and of course it says causation or causality means, and we have the definition as the principle that everything has a cause. Now, you can't have an effect without a cause, and like you, I believe the universe had a beginning. And so what we did was we're going to go through an argument here known as the cosmological argument, and the way that this looks is that first, whatever begins to exist has a cause. Second, the universe began to exist. And third, therefore, the universe has a cause. Again, first, whatever begins to exist has a cause. Second, the universe began to exist. And third, the universe has a cause. Now, this has implications. When you say the universe, or when I say the universe had a definite cause and a beginning, the first question that comes to your mind is, what caused the universe? Mm-hmm. And from an atheistic standpoint, this is very, very scary. So most atheists would try to say that the universe is eternal and doesn't have a cause and doesn't have a beginning. And that's why to establish that the universe has a cause scientifically becomes so important.
Yeah, scientists have come to the conclusion that the universe was started at the Big Bang. Okay, it's where time, space, and matter actually came into existence. Now, if we're going to go by scientific principles and the law of causality, you can't have a bang without a banger. It really would be like a bad knock-knock joke. Like if I said, Nick, knock-knock.
Who's there?
No one.
No one who?
No one who created the universe and everything that you see.
All right. Not only would that be a bad principle, but it's also a pretty bad.
It's absurd. Yeah. Listen, to think that a door knocks on its own, when you're sitting on the couch and you hear, you automatically say, who is it? Because you know that doors don't knock on themselves. And if a door doesn't knock on itself, how could the universe create itself? So whatever caused, the Big Bang is an effect of a cause. The cause must be outside space and time and matter. So that would, causation points to the fact that we do have a first cause. Now, this is known as the cosmological argument, okay? And it's number 7 on your worksheet, okay? You fill in the word cosmological. I know it's kind of a long word. Cosmos means world. Logic is knowledge. So this is the cosmological argument for the existence of God.
Okay, so as he said, number 11 on your worksheet, just to run through these, the blanks are experience and the scientific principle of cause and effect confirm our first presence, premise. Whatever begins to exist must have a cause. Now, I want to say this to you, that to explain this a little further, okay, we know that in 1929, the astronomer Edwin Hubble observed that all the galaxies are receding from one another. What this means is that through his telescope, he began to see that all the galaxies are actually moving away. They're expanding. And this discovery implied that if you reverse that expansion and you go back in time, the universe becomes progressively denser. And what that's like, picture a raisin muffin, if you will. You put it in the oven and it expands, and the raisins kind of move apart from each other as this thing expands. If you were to reverse it, it would become more and more dense, just like the universe. So when they bring the universe all the way back to its smallest possible state, or all the way back to a point, it would be called a singularity. That's what they call that state, a singularity. And this would constitute an edge or a boundary to space-time itself, and it marks the beginning of the universe. And like you were saying, the Big Bang describes a universe which is not eternal.
Right. So what we can really come to the conclusion is nothing cannot create something, because out of nothing, nothing comes. I mean, I think it was Julie Andrews who even sang that in The Sound of Music. Out of nothing, nothing comes, right?
You want to sing a few bars for
no,
us?
No, thank you. Okay. No, because the effect, see, this would be cause and effect. I sing, and the effect would be people turning the radios off very, very quickly. So that's an example of cause and effect. So if you look at your worksheet, number 12, okay, you would fill in something and then nothing. Nothing cannot create something, because out of nothing, nothing comes.
Now, why is that important? I mean, it sounds like a riddle. It sounds like a riddle. I mean, nothing can create something, and because out of nothing, something comes. What is that? Give us an example.
Well, it's nothing cannot create something, because out of nothing, nothing.
Come on.
Right. No, right. So, look, if there was ever a point in time where absolutely nothing, and I mean nothing, existed. Now, some philosophers have talked about what actually is nothing. And one wise guy philosopher says, well, nothing is what sleeping rocks dream about.
Aristotle.
Okay. And I call him a wise cracker.
He did create logic.
Yeah. So if you ask.
But he can't hear you, so don't worry.
If there was ever a point in time when absolutely nothing, really nothing existed, then nothing would exist now. And this is why scientists have always wanted to hold to what's called the steady state theory, the fact that the universe has always existed. And with the latest scientific discoveries that point to the fact that the universe came into existence at the Big Bang, this has put a giant question mark in their theory.
You know, it's interesting because the first premise in this argument for the cosmological argument is whatever began to exist, and they use the word began, whatever began to exist must have a cause. But in the colleges, and you know this very well, Anthony, mm-hmm. but for those of you that are listening, in the colleges, they kind of change that around a little bit. And what they say is whatever exists had a cause. And that in and of itself creates a problem. And the problem is that if you say whatever exists has a cause, then you can ask the question, what caused God?
Right. And, you know, the funny thing is this. When I say knock, knock, you say who's there. Mm-hmm. When I ask you a question with regards to who created God, intuitively we ask who. We don't say what created God. Why is that? Because we know that a what cannot create a who.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Only a who that can create
We're
a what.
Back to the real. Say that again.
Okay. We know that a what cannot create a who, because a what has no will.
Folks, this
intellect.
Is not on your worksheet, but
this isn't Dr. Seuss either.
Well, okay. It's starting to sound that way, but go ahead.
So let me go slow. A what cannot create a who or a person. In other words, an inanimate object cannot create somebody with a will, intellect, and emotion. It's only someone with a will, intellect, and emotion that can create another someone who has a will, intellect, and emotion. In other words, you have kids, right?
Yes.
You're a who. You created another who.
I'm a who. I created multiple whos.
Multiple whos.
Okay.
Right. So,
interestingly enough, too, I figured that out before apologetics. I did.
I think it's intuitive.
Yeah.
It may be. That's why intuitively we ask, who created this, or who created God?
I think you're
giving. It's not what created God.
I think you're giving a new way to talk about the birds and the bees.
Let's move on. Oh, just a reminder. Thank you, Nick. Just a reminder.
Instead of the birds and the bees, will be the who's now. Apologetics just took on a new meaning.
Reminder that you're listening to the New York Apologetics radio broadcast, and we're having fun today with Nick and Anthony. We're on every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Be sure also to check us out on the web at www.newyorkapologetics.com. And on that website, you can submit your questions to us, and we'll do our best to answer them in our upcoming shows. We want to interact with you and get to know you better. Please feel free to submit those questions, because we're looking forward to actually reading them on the air and answering them for you.
Hey, Anthony, you know, last week when we were talking about the State Department and the Declaration of Independence, I believe a friend of ours is defending the origins of our country, yes?
That's right, absolutely. In fact, this Saturday, which is, what's this Saturday's date? I'm not sure. This Saturday at 6:30 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville on Portion Road, Pastor Bruce Bennett is going to be debating an atheist by the name of Dan Courtney. And the topic for the debate will be, was the United States founded to be a Christian nation? Now, affirming that premise is going to be Pastor Bruce Bennett, and denying that premise is going to be atheist Dan Courtney. So it's June 21st, 6:30 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church at 1055 Portion Road in Farmingville. I'm actually going to be moderating, even though it's not a New York Apologetics event.
I'm actually going to come just to support.
Please, and feel free to listen to the debate and bring your questions for either person, Pastor Bruce or Dan Courtney. It's gonna be a lively debate, and I'm looking forward to being a part of it.
All right, so we left off with the birds and the bees, or the who's and the what's, but I want to return to a question I asked, because I think that it's worthy of discussion, and that is if you believe, right, like we do, that the universe came into beginning and had a definite cause, somebody could say to you, well, what was the cause? And you could say God. And then they could say, well, who created God? And this is a big question. We get this on Twitter and Facebook. A lot of times when the atheists, they try to interact with us on that level, they ask that question. And to understand that, you first have to realize that, A, time, space, matter, and energy all came into existence at the Big Bang. So there was no time, there was no space, which means whatever brought it into existence, in our case God, it would have to be timeless and spaceless, and it would also have to be immaterial. Mm-hmm. So if there was no time, there was no space, whatever created it would have to be outside of time and outside of space. And that is the very definition of God.
Right. And it would have to be willing to create, because energy or elements on their own have no will to do anything. They just exist. So whatever created the universe had to have a will in order to do that. And then when you look at personhood, you see the effect of that cause, and we're going to get into the argument from morality. Whatever caused the universe, created the universe, had to be personal. And this is where we get personal morals from. Otherwise, there would be no personal morals, because persons don't matter at that point.
Yeah. So with God creating the universe, or we're saying that that's the best explanation for the origin of the universe. Now, this argument becomes so powerfully strong as evidence for God being the creator. Now, you know what was interesting? A friend of mine, I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago, and he said to me, well, you know what? Your account in Genesis, and it became, you know, not my account, but the account in Genesis, he says, was taken from older religions. And he was saying, like, you know, the whole account of the creation in Genesis. But if anyone ever says that to you, know this, that Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that was a Hebrew idiom for the universe, because they didn't have a word that meant universe. Mm. So really what it says is God created the universe. And there is no account of those ancient Eastern religions that says that God created the universe. Every single one of them always starts with something that was already in existence and kind of fashioned it into the world and this and that. So the Judeo-Christian tradition, if you will, or what's held in the Bible, is the only one that actually says that mm-hmm. God created the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. And really, that means out of nothing, which is consistent with science today. That puts us squarely in mainstream science.
Right. And here's where I want to introduce a tactic that I call side by side. And what I want to do is lift up our explanation for the existence of the universe and line it up side by side with an atheist's response or reason for the existence of the universe. Now, let me ask you, which is more reasonable? Something created the universe, or nothing created the universe?
Well, I mean, just using reason, without even looking at it from a religious standpoint, just to use reason, you would have to say that something created the universe, because there is no example of nothing creating something.
Right. I'm still waiting for nothing to create something. I'm still waiting for $100 bills to pop into existence in my wallet. I'm still waiting for hair to pop into existence on my head.
Oh, my God.
It hasn't
happened yet.
Man. No, I know. But the simple fact of the matter is you cannot have an effect without a cause. It is simply unreasonable and untenable to think that the universe came into existence out of nothing and for no reason. So when you line up our view that an intelligent designer that we call God started and created the universe with a plan and a purpose, and you line that up against an atheistic or materialistic explanation for the existence of the universe, that nothing created everything, at that point I would have to say that they believe in bigger miracles than we do.
Yeah.
They have more faith than we do, because they believe, they have faith that nothing created everything. I don't have enough faith to believe that.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think anyone does. So to get back to cause, order, design, and ethics, just to touch on it again, just to go to the worksheet, if you were to look at causation, which we've kind of got into today, but order shows, just briefly to give you a little idea about it, order shows kind of that everything we see has an order, okay? And that in order for it to have order, there would have to be a designer. You can't have order without design. And finally, the ethics and the morality, we're going to get into how that actually points to God. All of these things, we would be able to say that God is the best explanation for these arguments. So with that With that being said, let's look at the worksheet on number. Let's go to number the final number 20 on your worksheet, which is the name of the Big Bang. Most people don't realize it, but the English astronomer Fred Hoyle is credited with coining the term the Big Bang during a 1949 BBC radio broadcast. And it was popularly reported that Hoyle was actually making fun of it because he believed in the steady state model and he called it a Big Bang. But when it started to become mainstream science, he went backwards on that. That's how they report it. So it really came from 1949, the Big Bang. But the reality of it is that it all started from the expansion of the universe, which was kind of hypothesized by Einstein in his general theory of relativity.
Right, and I think next week we're going to get deeper into the causation argument. In fact, by the end of this series for code, causation, order, design, and ethics, I think you're going to have some really, really good answers for people and some really good things to sink your teeth into and to think about. And just quick, I want to go back to the worksheet again. And at 16, because I don't think I recapped this, until it arrives at a state, it's called a singularity. Okay, that's what the universe started out as, a singularity. Number 17, this constitutes an edge or boundary to space-time itself. 18, it marks the beginning of the universe. And 19, the Big Bang describes a universe which is not eternal in the past, but which began to exist at a finite time a little while ago. And again, with the advent of all these new scientific discoveries and reasons, we can show scientifically that the Earth, the universe, and the Earth came into existence at a point in time. It's not eternal.
With that being said, we're going to get ready to close the program. And, you know, I just want to say that you can go to our website, www.newyorkapologetics.com. There is so much information on there for you if you're interested in apologetics, if you're interested in the ability to defend your faith, if you're interested in looking into these principles. It's really something that would help, I think, any Christian share their faith and become confident in the way that they share their faith. I know for me, it helps me share in almost any context, and I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah, you know, something that actually might help you, if you go to our website, newyorkapologetics.com, and you go into presentations, the debate that I did with the atheist last November, my opening statement revolves around code. It revolves around causation, order, design, ethics, and morality. That'll give you a really good understanding of where we're coming from and actually where we're headed over the next couple of weeks. So with that, friends, thanks again for joining us for the last half hour. We hope that you've been strengthened and encouraged in your faith. Please visit the website, www.newyorkapologetics.com, for more great information and to see any upcoming events that we have planned. Don't forget Saturday, moderating the debate at Word of Truth Church in Farmingville. Please also remember, email us with your questions. We want to connect with you and tackle the questions that you might be facing, get to know you a little bit better. So from Nick and Anthony at newyorkapologetics.com, be equipped, be empowered, be engaged with the culture around you. We want to offer you black and white answers in a gray world. Until next week, think it through.
Don't miss the New York Apologetics radio show every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. right here on Hope Radio. For more information, head over to newyorkapologetics.com.